The gospel reading for today is from Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. And when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the gospel of the Lord.
You know, when I look at this morning's gospel, I think about what a hard time that the church fathers must have had coming up with what we clergy call the 3-year lectionary. And it's a series of Old Testament and gospel readings that are Sunday by Sunday to kind of coincide with the season. And you know, even though this lectionary stretches out over 3 years, there just simply isn't enough Sundays to cover the entire Bible. You know, they had to have made the difficult choice of what to include and what to leave out. I'm glad I was not one of them. So that's why we skipped over a few paragraphs in Matthew in order to get from last week's gospel lesson till today's. You know, today's gospel tells us of an event that most of us grew up hearing from Sunday school on, about the feeding of the 5,000. You know, Jesus fed 5,000 men plus their families with a couple of fish and 5 small loaves of bread. The need for feeding these people came up because they were stuck in the middle of nowhere, literally. You know, the verses leading up to today's gospel give us some insight into why Jesus and his disciples traveled to this desolate area in the first place. The preceding verses tell us that Christ and his disciples had just learned of the death of John the Baptist, and the first words in today's gospel are, "Now when Jesus heard this." You know, these words here refer to the news that John had died, been killed, beheaded. John and Jesus had a close relationship. Not only were they related, but John, you might say, was also a forerunner of Jesus. Many of Jesus' disciples had also been disciples of John before Jesus called them to follow him. And it's not too hard to imagine that the news of John's baptism caused quite a bit of grief with that group. So today's gospel begins with Jesus taking his disciples to a desolate area after they had learned that John had died. You know, the kind of apparent that the people that Jesus left behind figured out where he was going. And as Jesus took off in a boat, they take off walking around the Sea of Galilee. And when Jesus arrived at this desolate place, it was not desolate anymore. You know, it was full of people. Jesus saw these people and he had compassion on them, though. And this was a special kind of compassion. Jesus was moved down to the core of, you know, his inner being. He was moved because he remembered how things were supposed to be. As the Son of God, Jesus was there at creation. You know, everything was made through him, and he saw it all, and it was very good. He was also there when Adam and Eve sinned, and the world became a sinful place. You know, that's the reason he took on human flesh in the first place, to take our place and deal with our sin for us. And in today's gospel, we see God in human flesh surveying the results of sin and having compassion on those victims of their own sins. I suspect that most Christians in the 21st century would still not understand how sickness is a result of sin. You know, sickness is a part of the dying process, folks, and death is a result of sin. In the 21st century, you know, we may live a few years longer because of the medical technology we have now, but we still get sick and we still die. You know, we can empathize with sick people in that desolate place. We understand that sickness is a result of sin, and therefore we understand that the healing touch of Jesus is Jesus having compassion on the victims of sin. On the other hand, it's more difficult to understand in the 21st century for us American Christians to see hunger as a result of sin. You know, we live in a land where overeating is a problem, and as I said before, I'm the poster boy for that. You know, between grocery stores, convenience stores, restaurants, and other food sources, most Americans have never been desperately hungry. Yeah, it's a simple thing for us to stop off at a fast food restaurant while we're on the road. And it's not a big thing. You know, hunger is not a big an issue as it was when Jesus fed these 5,000. You know, things weren't so simple for those 5,000 men who brought their family members with them to Jesus. So when we say 5,000, we're probably looking at closer to 8,000 to 10,000 people total. You know, back then there were no fast food restaurants. If you wanted anything to eat, there'd be an oven built out of rock out in the yard and heated by firewood that you gathered if you wanted hot food. Wealthy people might eat until they were satisfied, but the average person was rarely satisfied at the end of a meal. Now think of the Garden of Eden. You know, Adam and Eve were constantly surrounded by food. All of the trees in the garden, out of all those, only one was off limits. Anytime they needed to eat, they simply put out a hand and picked something from a nearby tree. You know, it wasn't until Adam and Eve sinned that gathering and preparing food really became a struggle. And it was after Adam and Eve sinned that God said to him in Genesis 3, "Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you will eat the plants of the field, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread." So it is that we understand that when Jesus heals the sick, he's undoing the curse of sin. We also understand that when Jesus feeds the hungry, that too is the undoing of the curse of sin. You know, the disciples witness Jesus as he undid this curse by healing the multitudes. Nevertheless, their words and actions really indicated that no matter what, they didn't understand. They had no idea what he was doing. And as the day came to an end, they suggested that Jesus send the people away so they could go find food. Jesus said, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. You know, the disciples had seen Jesus perform many, many miracles. They should have known that he would give them enough food to feed all the people. Instead, they said to him, we have only 5 loaves here and 2 small fish. Instead of looking to Jesus to give them food to give to the people, they tried to figure out how they could obey Jesus with their own resources. Kind of like us trying to figure out how we can work for our own salvation. You know, in spite of all they had seen, they just still did not understand. Jesus said to them, bring them here to me. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied. And in this way, Jesus made it possible for the disciples to follow his instructions. He gave them food and they were indeed able to give the people something to eat. In fact, all the people were satisfied. You know, today we still live with the symptoms of our sins. The symptoms may not be exactly the same as those suffered by the thousands who ate those 5 loaves and 2 fish, but we still suffer from sin. Jesus' compassion and his word and works in today's gospel teach us that he has the authority and power to deal not just with the symptoms of sin, but he's able to deal with sin itself. He regularly deals with the sin that attacks us daily. And Jesus' compassion and his word and works also comfort those who share him with others, just the group in Belize is doing. You know, Jesus instructs us to give his gifts to the people we meet in the world around us. You know, we have the same response that the disciples did, though. Lord, I only have a few pathetic skills. You know, there's no way I can do what you said. And Jesus responds the same way to us that he did to the disciples. He says a blessing and gives us gifts. You know, we can share his gifts with the people around us. We have more left over than we began with. You know, the greatest blessing that Jesus gives us is the blessing that comes from his cross, and that's the forgiveness of our sins. And with that forgiveness, he gets at the root cause of all our problems. And with that forgiveness, he saves us from the eternal punishment of hell. And with that forgiveness, he gives us life forever with him. You know, just as Jesus fed the 5,000 through his clueless disciples, he still gives his gifts to the sinners so that they may share them with other sinners. You know, at the beginning of the service, we confessed our sins before God and each other. And even though I'm just as much a sinner as any of you, I still forgive your sins with the forgiveness that Jesus Christ has given to me. And I stand here this morning, I'm simply one sinner telling other sinners about Christ's salvation. And just as in the consecration of the bread and wine and the sacrament of Holy Communion, the pastor is still a sinner who relies on Christ's promise to take up residence in the bread and wine with his body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. Just as the multiplying of the fish and loaves had nothing to do with the disciples who delivered the meal to the crowd, so also the source of forgiveness, life, and salvation has nothing to do with the pastor. Instead, it all depends on Jesus. You know, if you find yourself stranded and hungry in a desolate area that's sin-filled, know that Christ has entered this world with sacred food for you and I. You know, this gospel gives you forgiveness of sins. And with the forgiveness of sins comes life and salvation. Just as he once gave temporal food by the hands of his disciples, he now gives us his sacred food through the mouth and the hands of his servants. Even though his servants are sinner, his food is still holy, and his food is still for you. Amen. May the peace of the Lord that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.